Hard to compete with a wasp. I might be able to compete with a frog or a dog, but it's hard to compete with a wasp. But I recognize that these problems sometimes occur. I remember in the Philippines, they often have a dog come in and walk down the aisle. So we sort of put up with what we have to put up. I want to start tonight by talking about this world is a mess. And I'm in a bad mood about it. I'm in a bad mood. What's going to happen to the U.S.? We get to thinking about that and see what's wrong. We have Muslims everywhere. And we're told by the FBI that they're training places in every state in the union preparing for some kind of terroristic threat in the future. So we worry about that. Though it hasn't happened to us, it's happened all across the United States. I'm personally upset, and I know you are too, about the idea of abortion taking place. Over 6 million babies have been killed, and the amount of them goes up over 3,000 every day. Even as we speak, they're having abortions somewhere. And it just hurts my heart to think about these innocent little babies being so mistreated as they are. And so I worry about that. But I heard someone on television not too long ago say that we need to have a euthanasia truck that goes around and puts old people to death. Well, I are one. And that worries me. Are you coming for me? At least let me have some say in that. But, you know, when you really get used to abortion, euthanasia is not that far away. And many people are calling for old people just to get out of the way. And I'm not planning to participate in that. But then crime and murder is all around us. We just have crime in every city and every state. Chicago is always in the news. They'll have murders maybe 15 a week. And it has the most gun laws of any city in the United States. And when you talk about a gun-free zone, that allows the criminals to really get in and start doing their dirty work. I'm upset about that, not that I can do a whole lot about it. United Nations authority over the United States. We are a sovereign nation. Really bothers me when I hear people say, as in fact, not long ago, in fact, this last week, President Obama signed the authorization saying that United Nations have the authority to come into America with their soldiers in case of a riot, and they can shoot citizens of the United States. That goes against my understanding of the Constitution. But who am I to be just one person? I'm really upset about this. Climate change, Joe Biden said, is a worse threat than Islam. So we need to all shut off our... Would you shut off the air conditioner, brother? We've got to contribute to the green piece. And the idea is that they're... everybody's got air conditioners, and it's promoting really a bad economic or environmental cause. So I'm saying with my tongue in my cheek, hard to talk through my tongue, woe is me, the sky is falling. So you know I'm not really upset about that, because I'm of a firm belief the Lord's still in control. I say all that to talk about the fact that it's here, but do you understand the hand of God working in your life? I understand that, and I believe that. And I know that God is bigger than the United Nations. I know that God is aware of every sparrow that falls. Therefore, He's aware of every abortion that takes place. Some of these things are in God's hands. And we need to understand that God is working in our life. There are scriptures that teach this in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." And that's just so true. We have so many spiritual blessings. But I have the freedom to stand here tonight and preach, call Joe Biden's name, talk about Muslims and various things like that. The fact that I can have fellowship with God, the fact that I can know that my sins are forgiven, The fact that we can have fellowship together as children of God, and we just appreciate that so very much. So I was sort of bleeding a little bit there in that first chart as we considered all the various things, a few of the things wrong with our country. But to offset that, we really need to understand that God is in control. And so we talk about providence of God, the providence of God. And we don't always know when it works. And we don't recognize that the word providence is not in the Bible. But we understand that there is a providence of God. I mentioned last week that Ron Halbook reminded me that there's a providence of the devil. I'd never thought about that. But I do believe that's right. The providence of God is not a miracle, and the providence of Satan is not a miracle. The natural things of life God can use to bring about His will being done. And I know that Satan will use the natural things of the world to try to tempt people into sin. Alcohol, sex, all these other kinds of things. That would be the providence of the devil as he puts those things in front of us. No better study of providence than the young man Joseph, who was sold into slavery back in the Old Testament. And as he got into slavery, he was terribly mistreated. But he had faith. And God used that faith to make Joseph a deliverer of his people to some degree. And Joseph became ruler, second and only to the Pharaoh in Egypt because of his faith. He was put in prison. He was accused by Potiphar's wife as being untrue, of trying to seduce her, and all these things, but his faith carried him through. I've come to understand that God's providence works the best with good faith. And that when we have that kind of faith, then things will be good for us. It'll work out in the long run. Again, a good example of providence of God was Esther. How that God raised up Esther through the natural means. She was a beautiful woman and the king married her. But through her faith and Mordecai's help, she put Haman on his own noose. And you see the providence of God working, because Haman was getting ready to destroy the Jews in captivity. God's hand was blessing the Jews in captivity, and through Esther and her faith, they could defend themselves. So you have these issues in the Bible that are very clear to us. And then, of course, Cyrus in Isaiah 44, before Cyrus was born, the king of Persia to be, he was named by Isaiah as being the deliverer of Israel out of captivity. When Cyrus came to the throne, you find out that he indeed allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And God knew all that ahead of time. God planned all that ahead of time. And so it's the providential thing that God used the affairs of nature to bring about His will. Now, I serve the same God today that Cyrus, foolish, didn't understand. But I serve the same God of Joseph. And I serve the same God of Esther. And as I see God working in their lives, even in national issues, I believe that God is working in our life. We may not always recognize it. We may not be aware of it. But the providence of God is there. And so today, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy to pray for the ones that were in control of the nations. And we've done that in our assemblies. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul said, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The idea is that he was involved in trying to convert people, even people in kings and places of that nature, and civil rulers. And he told Timothy in another place to pray for those in control of nations. And we, of course, do that here. And then, of course, his children. That God is in control of the children of God, and he uses that providence to help us. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In all these passages I've read, you see it's always a matter of faith connected to God. So in order for us to receive the providence of God, I think we have to understand our faith in God is very strong. So I've listed a few things that bother me, and I'm sure bother you, so far as the nation is concerned. But nevertheless, God is able to be over those things. So we can be assured that God will provide for our needs. All these things will be added to us. Now I recognize that sometimes through the wisdom of God and through the willful sinfulness of some of His people, innocent people are caught up into that turmoil. But the Bible teaches us that what can man do? All they can do is take our life. Beyond that, they have no power. So if our faith is guiding us even unto death, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful to death and you'll receive the crown of life, God is still in control. We're all going to die. It's just a matter of time when. And I may not be able to choose when I die, but I can choose how I die. And my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be coming straight from my heart all the way through that. And so we talk about the fact that God works in us. In Ephesians 3:14-21, please look at this passage with me. There are a number of things that are stated in this passage that verify what I'm saying. And if you'll read that along with me, we'll get a lot of good out of it. I want to look at Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 14. Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I stop right there, I've proved my point. Because God is able to do all these things, I bow my knees. I'm humble in the sight of God, knowing that He's in charge. But it went on to say, in verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may fill with all the fullness of God. That's a statement so full of things to understand. He grants you to be strengthened. I've seen brethren go through troubles that would make a faint-hearted people die away. But I've seen Christians face up to things that I don't know how they did it, but they did it because they had faith. I thought a lot of Sister Mayola Piner. You didn't know her. She was out in North Carolina. She had her mother and her mother-in-law both bedfast. And she was taking care of both of those, and it was an everyday thing. From the time she got up to fix their breakfast, to give them a bath, to clean up their beds, to tend to them all day long. When she got really tired and older, her husband had been in an insane asylum. But he was turned loose, and he came home, and he filled the gap. He was able to help her in that. And I've thought many times, how many Mayolas are there in this world who have a burden, and they don't try to escape it? They just take care of it. And the way she could take care of it was because of her great faith. And I'll always remember Mayola Piner, a lady that just did so much good, and through her faith she was able to be strengthened in all those things. And he said the Spirit works on the inner man. Now that's not miraculous and that's not mysterious. Through the Word of God that dwells in you richly, Colossians 3 and verse 16, the Word of God has a power and a strength to give you that you can go through nearly anything. When you look at Esther, as we talked about a moment ago, her faith was severely tried because her people were about to be killed. And she had to do something about it. One person made a difference. And I believe that can be true today. And the results of Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. See, this is something that you don't have just within the church building. When you leave here and go back into the world, Christ can dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Christ can go with you through the troubles of life. And He will bear you up and give you that strength. So when I made the list of some of those things that bothered me, and I'm sure bother you, I counteract it with this, of how much God is able to help us in the things that take place. The benefits, verses 17 through 19, that the love of God cannot be removed from us by powers outside of us. And no one is stronger than God, so He will keep us safe and benefit us. And the power works in us. Verse 20. We'll look at verse 20 again. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Folks, there is a power that you have access to that can make you overcome mountains. Things that will bother you, that will disturb you from health and economics and people and other things, temptation, that you draw strength on because you have Christ in your heart. So you go out into the world and you see all the things that I've talked about tonight, and the world is in a mess. But we have Christ in us, working with us in the Spirit through the Word of God, and the power of God is in our lives. That gives me hope, makes me understand. So let's look at 1 John 5 in verse 4 for one of them. And recognize that John is talking about the fellowship that we have with the Lord. In chapter 5 and in verse 4, John said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." This victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And when that operates, we can't be stopped. Nobody can limit us. Our faith will move mountains. That's what Jesus has said. Book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul never met the Colossians. He was never there personally. But he wrote a letter to them, and he had a prayer for them. Turn to Colossians 1, beginning of verse 9. In verse 9, Paul said, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He didn't pray necessarily for miracles to happen, but he's praying for the Word of God to be in their hearts. Then he said, "That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins." You can't weigh that. You can't put a dollar amount on that. It's so far and above anything material that what we have in this room among us, the world does not have. The world doesn't understand it because they don't read the Bible. And as you've been reading the Bible and as you've accepted God in your hearts, all these things take place. That we have a power working in us that is better than the world around us. And so we continue on with these kinds of things. And man and God are to work to accomplish God's will in life. I mentioned that one's faith must accompany the Christian for providence to work. Well, he said in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, "Therefore, beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." And that's really the heart of this lesson. That God works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And so it's not a matter of me just overcoming for personal gain, but it's the idea of doing what I do to glorify God's name. And God is working in us. Now you might not realize it, but I believe there are people who look to you for good influence. I believe there are people that have brought closer to God because of your faith. And you're able to do things. You help this church survive. Because God is working in you. And He works together. And the church is called the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I look at the list that I put on the board in the beginning of the detriments and the liabilities in our country. And I can dismiss them. Because I know that God is working in us. And in every one of us, to some degree or another, you have a good influence toward the world around you. But you're also able, because of your faith, to understand the providence of God is working in you. I think the providence of God is working for people who found this congregation and are with us today. The providence of God. I think the providence of God has been in my life. I recognize that East Texas and my family were not good people. They weren't good people at all. But through the providence of God, I saw a better way. I am today, to a large degree, what my mother taught me, and what some good Bible class teachers taught me, and what some good preachers taught me. So I think my faith was joined with God's providence, and I am able to be a preacher of the gospel today by the providence of God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to preach the gospel of Christ and lead people to salvation. And so God works in you. The Bible is very clear. Well, how does God work through this providence? Through the gospel. In Acts 2, when the apostles began to preach on the day of Pentecost, they had them coming together because the Jewish holiday was there, the day of Pentecost. And there were thousands of Jews from all over the world. There couldn't have been a better time for the gospel to be preached to those people. There was one language that was known all around the world, the Koine Greek. There were many roads because the Romans had built roads for their soldiers to get quickly to any part of the Roman world. And Paul, as an apostle, could be free to travel and free to preach. But here were the apostles on the day of Pentecost. How providential it was that all those Jews are there because of the day of Pentecost, and they preached the gospel, and 3,000 became Christians. That's the providence of God working right there. Nothing miraculous took place as far as the people were concerned. They had the gift of tongues upon the apostles, but each person heard in his own language. So the gospel is what had the power in that. And you see that in Acts chapter 16 with regard to others that were converted. And so it's through human elements many times that the providence of God works. Notice in Ephesians 4 again, this time beginning with verse 11. And I've used this passage many times in my preaching for other reasons, but notice this. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love that expression. A measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm not like Christ is, but I measure myself against Him. And the reason why I can do that is because the apostolic message contained in the Bible, because of the prophets of the Old Testament, because of the many things that God did in His providence to be sure that we have the truth. And I remember Brother Harry Osborne when he was over in Russia preaching the gospel, how he said that people cried. He passed out Bibles. Some of them, grown people, had never seen a Bible. And when he handed out the Bibles free of charge, people cried and grasped that Bible. They were so glad to see it. Well, we don't know how that gospel is going to be among them, but we know that some obeyed the gospel because Harry taught them. And it's through the Word that this sort of thing has happened, through the human agents that we have. Then, of course, through prayer. Jesus was a praying man. He prayed often. He'd go aside, as he did on the Mount Olives, and he prayed in sweat and tears because he knew the great turmoil he was about to endure. But Jesus was a praying man. The disciples came to Jesus one time and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Well, what does that have to do with anything? Because God, who's in control, hears our prayers. He taught them to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And they accepted that, and they prayed that prayer. And I pray that prayer often as I go to bed at night. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. Lead us not into temptation. So we think about temptation. There's the providence of the devil again. Lead us not into temptation, but we recognize the kingdom has come and that God has power over us. And so we're doing all these things through prayer. Well, what can men do in their lives? Well, there's some things we need to do in order to do that. And I mentioned the faith that we ought to have. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 27. John 6 and verse 27. As we look at this in verse 27, He said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And I'm able to understand, therefore, that I can have that word. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? So what can we do that we may work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And so the providence of God comes to those who seek to do the will of God. And I think the providence of God has been shown many times in our lives. We must do that. And faith is a work that we must do, Jesus said. And so our obedience to God's works are accomplished in our life. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13 again. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How many times have you seen someone in a commercial store? When the boss is away, they do nothing. They only work when the boss is there. They work to please the boss. And what the Lord is telling us is, whether the boss is present or whether we don't know when Jesus comes, we ought to be busy. We need to be doing these good works with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So even though I've been upset when I see a lot of things, and when so many things happen in this world that's bad, I take great comfort as a child of God, knowing that God's providence is working in our life. But God is in control. He's always been in control. When people turn against him in sinfulness, like Israel did many times, he often punishes them. And the Hebrew letter tells us not to despise the chastening of the Lord, because it's for our good. And so I take joy in the fact, number one, that I'm a Christian. By the grace of God, I obeyed the gospel, and I'm a member of the Lord's church, and I have faith. And having that faith, I'm open to whatever God allows me to do. Many times I've prayed when I'm either going to move to a place or move from a place. I've prayed to God through his providence to help me make the right decision. I believe God is able to do that. And in your life, when you ask God to be with you, to guide you and to lead you, I do that all the time, that God will lead me and guide me through this life. I believe he's able to do that by his providence. I trust in God for that end. I don't always see it. I don't always recognize it when it happens, but I do believe in the providence of God, that God is in control. And so I don't know what's going to happen to America and abortions, and I don't know what's going to happen with America and the Muslims. It bothers me, but I trust God. And I'm going to put my hands and my life in the hands of God. If you're present tonight and you've doubted, as I have, because of the way the world is going, I just gave myself a good sermon. I needed this. I needed to know that God is in control. And sometimes through a lack of faith, we don't appreciate that. But I can really say tonight, and having studied this, that I believe that God is in control. And whatever happens, it'll all work out right. Because even if the Muslims kill us, we're going to go to heaven. And that's what it's all about. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the invitation song.